Was it something we said?
Are you talking to me?
Do you have a comment to make?
Are you talking to me?
Or a bone to pick with us? Why not send us an email to feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com or join our forum at forum.midwestpeaceprocess.com. Or you can just leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/midwestpeace, or follow us on Twitter @midwestpeace. So that's how to contact us. Now let's give you something to contact us about. This week, Rob is fired up and ready to go. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace.
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 43. Today is September 20th, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
This week, we continue our focus on the election process, and we welcome an official Missouri delegate to the Democratic National Convention. Christy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jerry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well tonight.
Thank you very much for joining us. Would you like to say a few words, introduce yourself to our audience?
Sure. My name is Chris Hilgedick. I have been a reporter in mid-Missouri since before 2000, but I took off a few years, 3 years recently, to be a stay-at-home mom, and I've just gone back to work. One of the last things I did before I went back to work is last summer, it was about in April, that I'm kind of a political junkie, and I attended the 9th Congressional District's mass meeting, and I decided to try to be a delegate, and I was really surprised when people voted for me. I said a few things that were complimentary about Truman, and I think some of the older folks in the room liked what I had to say.
such a Truman suck-up.
Yeah. Way to work the crowd.
I thought you were talking about the Mizzou mascot. They didn't...
No. Our former president from the state of Missouri.
Okay. All right.
I've always been kind of a fan of history, and he's a really interesting character. And anyways, so I got a chance to go to the convention, and really my personality is more of an observer personality. So even though I was there as an official delegate, I was really there to just kind of take in what was going on and visit with people and meet people. And I wanted to learn more about the political process. And so that's why I went.
Okay. Well, that's great. And that's why, in fact, we wanted to have you on the show we'd like to learn more about that as well. And, ask you some questions about your experience. So you've talked a little bit about it already, but how does one normally become a delegate to a convention like that?
It's pretty complicated, and there's a few different pathways. You can try to go to the state convention. They seat some people there. There's kind of a voting process. There's a voting process at the congressional level, which is a few weeks earlier. And so there's more than one pathway. If you're already an elected official, sometimes I think there's some set aside seats for those folks. It's just different ways to get to go. It's not terribly hard.
But you have to run for it. You have to campaign a little bit, a little mini campaign.
Some people campaign a little bit. I did not. I just attended a meeting.
Did you make buttons or anything?
I did not. I really just stood up and talked about the values of Harry Truman. So,
so okay, how many people were selected at this meeting you attended?
I think there was a handful selected at the 9th Congressional District, but all in all, 101 people from the state of Missouri went to the National Convention. And we sat together as a group, and most of us stayed together in a hotel as a group. And we ate breakfast together every morning as a group. So,
okay.
Was everyone in that group essentially an Obama supporter, or you know, were there any dissenters?
There were no dissenters because I was a bound delegate, which means I had to cast my ballot for Obama, I think.
Okay.
But, you know, 4 years ago, it was much more interesting to be a delegate because Hillary and Barack were, you know, still in contention at the convention. And right. So I wish I'd gone in 08. I would have learned more about the political process. Going this year, it was still interesting because there were so many nationwide speakers, you know, speaking at the convention. They were just, you know, famous person after famous person after famous person. People you see on CNN all the time, people that you read about in USA Today every day, they were all there giving speeches. And so, you know, it was still fascinating, but it would have been much more interesting 4 years ago.
Yeah, I could see that. Okay, so did you have any official duties at the convention? I mean, besides, like, casting a ballot or...
I think I signed, yeah, really, the process of casting a ballot was no more than just signing a list. It was a very simple, I had very few duties. But the way it was kind of structured is the days were filled with business, like all these different caucuses. And so you'd have these different groups meet and they would talk about the issues that were important to them. And so I attended three caucuses. I went to the Jewish American Caucus, and there were some, you know, some interesting speakers there that would probably pertain to your, you know, Midwest peace process topic that were pretty interesting. And I also attended, maybe a half an hour of the Women's Caucus. And I also, since I am married to a farmer and live in a very rural area, I went to some of the agricultural caucuses, or, you know, the ones for people out in the country, the hips, you know.
Okay. Was it contentious at any of these things? Or was it a bunch of people agreeing with each other loudly?
No, I would not say it was terribly contentious. It was a party, really, is what it was.
the truth comes out.
It was during the day that, you know, you like at the Jewish caucus, I think there was a really prominent staffer for the White House who happened to be Jewish, and he talked about Obama's relationship with Israel. And I also heard Deborah Schultz-Wasserman.
Wasserman Schultz, yeah.
Yeah, I heard her speak, and she was a compelling speaker, and she talked about, you know, what she thought Democrats, you know, the relationship between Democrats and her Jewish heritage, and so she was interesting, and you know, she's chairman of the party now, so she had a big role to play that week.
Talk a little bit more about the discussion or the speech about Obama's relationship with Israel, because that's certainly taken a beating lately.
Well,
I would think, at least in the press.
In our shul, I'd say the vast majority of people who are Jewish in America probably, well, they come from urban areas for one thing, so they tend to be a liberal profile, but you do have very vocal conservative Jews also, and they make the case that America, you know, that Obama doesn't have a good relationship with Israel. But the speakers I heard made a good case. I wish I'd kept the paperwork, but I didn't. They made a good case that many, many prominent Israeli leaders, people who are in the military, people who are president of Israel, you know, do hold Obama in high regard and find him easy to work with. So that's basically what I was hearing when I was there.
Okay.
So sounds like the truth to me.
Of course it does.
So the caucuses are, help me understand the function
of
the caucuses.
Some of them are huge. Like the African, I didn't go to the African American caucus, but I know Michelle Obama was there speaking, and it was like hard to get in the door that day. She was a tremendously popular speaker. Her fellow people in the party really admire her. She has got a great stage presence. When she's on stage, she kind of looks like an Olympic athlete, and so she's an interesting person. I did not see her. She also attended the Women's Caucus, and so. You know, the days were devoted to issues that were of keen interest to Democrats. You had a lot of women's equality rights topics. and, you know, choice issues and all that sort of stuff. But in the evenings, the speeches, the ones you heard on television, that's when the conversation tended to shift more over to foreign policy, and really the focus was on the economy. That's what Bill Clinton kind of focused on in his speech. He spoke for an hour on the economy, and I think President Obama did too. He spent a lot of time talking about the economy. And Michelle, she kind of focused her comments on, you know, she was, you know, President Obama or Barack Obama kind of has a reputation for being a cool guy, a bit reserved, hard to know. And it was kind of her goal, I think, to humanize him and make him appear, you know, like a family guy. And I think that she probably, you know, did a pretty good job. The crowd was on its feet. So
did you shed any tears during Clinton's speech?
I did not.
Because I know they showed some people in the audience that were crying while he was up there speaking.
He is an amazing, he was in his element, you know.
Oh, sure.
Speaking to large groups, so.
Yeah, he was doing his thing.
Yeah,
definitely.
Bill Clinton Roadshow.
Okay, so the question I had about the caucuses, are they, I mean, is it just one big mutual admiration society, or are they actually discussing, like, potential changes to the party platform?
No.
Are the blue dogs in there?
Society. It is just speaker after speaker after speaker. And really there's not a lot of, the crowd is listening, taking it in, but there's not a lot, it's not a very interactive process actually. So I heard some really interesting speakers. I heard, I think, the former governor of Montana, he was a compelling guy. And,
perspective
on what was he talking about?
I would expect somebody from Montana to be talking about liberty and your own way of life, kind of a thing,
right? Gun ownership.
Yeah, he touched on those topics. He's definitely from the, you know, the moderate part of the party. He was talking about his experiences in the Peace Corps and his experiences in the ag industry. I think he came out of the agriculture world. He had a job. I don't know exactly what his job was, but that's kind of some of the things he was talking about. I wish I could remember more about the points he was trying to make, but he was a great speaker.
I'm going to get my timeline mixed up here. Maybe was the convention before or after Todd Akin's comments?
It was definitely after.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was. I couldn't remember for sure. So did that come up during the women's caucus?
It did. I heard a lot of people talk about Todd Akin. So,
and did you have to kind of like hold your head in your hands as the Missouri delegate? You're like, sorry, guys.
I think some people did feel that way. I'm of the opinion that I do not personally get very worked up about social issues like that. They're just not really. They're not the reason I went to the convention. I care. What I personally care about are jobs and the economy, and those are the issues that speak to me and that I'm interested in hearing about. So I know a lot of other people get really whipped up about all that social issue stuff, but I just don't happen to be one of them.
So it may not have offended you as a woman, but what about as a Missourian? You must have been like, oh, so you're the delegate from Missouri, huh? Yeah.
Well, I covered the state legislature for a decade. And so, you know, Todd Akin was there, and many, many, many people who share his, what I would call, personality profile are still there. Those are, you know, he's not alone. There's a lot of people who agree with him and think the way he does. And so, you know, they're definitely a big component of our state, you know, the people in our state.
Yeah, preach it, Chris. That's what I'm saying. Jeremy's gonna dispute. But I don't think what he said was that. If you talk to a certain
contraire, Rob. I said that exact thing on our podcast where we talked about him. I said this might not hurt him at all because there are plenty of people who feel that way and plenty of other people who don't care about that issue.
Yeah. Right.
Don't try to tell me I'm going to disagree and then now you say right. page one of Rob's playbook.
I just personally wish that more people would pay attention to the issues that aren't quite as you know, inflammatory, you know, maybe the things that pertain to people's paychecks and utility bills. And, you know, there's all different kinds of ways that politicians get in your pocket. But conservatives tend to just focus on income tax. And there's lots and lots. I've watched lobbyists for years and years and years pass tons and tons of legislation that affects consumers in a variety of different ways. And, you know, I just wish more people would pay attention to those issues. And, you know, when I write about them, those stories aren't always very interesting, but I think that they're important.
Well, okay, let's talk about that some more, because I think it was from Ameren UE. I received a notice that my bill will be going up approximately, I don't know, 14% or something like that.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, issues like that.
Yes, and I don't remember approving that.
Well, it came through the Public Service Commission. So that is a board in Jefferson City. They're actually in an office just half a block away from mine. And they sit there and they decide when the utility companies can raise rates like that. And let me tell you that the utility companies have plenty of money to pay for attorneys to make their case.
Certain that they do. And next time you walk by them, by their office, please tell them Jeremy is not happy.
So what do you personally think should be done about such a thing? I mean, we have these utilities kind of foisted on us. I don't really have an open market to choose where I'm going to get my volts from.
No, and so. I don't. You know, there are states that did try to deregulate all that. Well, actually, Texas did deregulate all that about a decade ago. And you want to talk about high rates? That's not a way. I don't think that's a way that you want the state of Missouri to go. Missouri actually fought that off. You know, it's a monopoly here. You know, the best thing you can do is write to your public service commissioner. So, you know, and, you know, if you're arguing for the utility side, you know, there's only so much, you know, a lot of those coal plants are aging now, and the utility companies really do need to plan for the future. And one of the plans that Ameren has in mind is to do Callaway 2, which would be a second nuclear reactor in Callaway County. And takes a lot of money to be able to do those projects. Those are you know, multi-million dollar projects. So,
so in your opinion, are they trying to raise rates to plan for the future infrastructure, or are they just trying to milk us?
I don't know. I haven't been to the utilities beat in 3 years. So I wish I could answer that question fairly.
We talk about stuff all the time that we have no idea what we're talking about. Just go ahead and speculate.
Shoot from the hip. Go ahead.
I don't answer. I mean, I'm saying that, you know, you have to kind of do some, you have to use your brain. And I know all three of you guys are smart. And you have to study it yourself. So it helps you're able to go to the meeting. So that there's nothing like seeing politics unfold firsthand. So I always encourage everybody to just attend the meetings in your community. Because actually, Ameren does hold consumer meetings all over the state. The commissioners will be there, and in theory, they're listening.
So I wanted to ask you about that, because, you know, my impression of the Public Service Commission is that it's just a good old boy network, and that everybody on it is either former Ameren employees or former. You know, the water company employees or whatever, that they're given those positions as payback for favors they've done. This is just me as an outsider looking in, but
I wouldn't say that. You know, most of the time there are people who have political clout in Jefferson City, and, you know, they have big political careers, and it's a good job to have. It's a well-paid job and they work hard. I'm not going to, you know, like people like Robert Clayton and Jeff Davis, those are both ex-members. You know, I haven't been to a Public Service Commission meeting in 3 years, so I'm kind of like speaking out of my depth right now.
Yeah. You don't think it's really changed that much in 3 years, though, do you?
Well, you know, they're just working on new issues, probably.
Okay.
No, probably it hasn't changed that much in 3 years, but...
I have the impression Chris might know somebody on that panel.
On the Public Service Commission panel?
Yes.
just to say hi to. I don't think they know me, actually.
Too modest.
Yeah.
Angling for a seat.
No. I'm a peon. That's funny.
Yeah, I think the big reason, if you're trying to encourage me to go to a community meeting, the big reason I wouldn't go is there's football on. But the other reason is that I would feel like a extra in the play somehow, that it's all kind of theater for their purposes, and it looks better when more people are kind of in the background.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Wait a minute. That sounds like something I would say, Rob.
See, rub it off on me.
There's no doubt that I think community leaders do hold public information sessions just to say, hey, we tried to include the public. But,
right.
You know, that's your chance to participate.
Oh, so. I'm going to – you got me fired up and ready to go.
So okay, so I'm assuming you've covered these in a journalistic capacity.
I have. It's been a few years, but yeah.
Have you ever seen one that's just completely gone south? You know, like it's intended to be just a photo op, but somebody shows up and really, you know, rallies the troops and you know, embarrasses whoever's hosting the meeting.
Yeah, probably. I'm speaking now about all the billion of community meetings I've been to, not just at the Public Service Commission, but across government.
Sure.
There's lots of them. You know, speaking about the Public Service Commission, those meetings are deadly. No offense to the utility people, but those meetings are really, seriously, you're in the weeds with details that are very dry. They're very, very dry meetings. I admire people who sit through them. So
they need to take a lesson from the DNC caucus. Have a little more fun.
Yeah.
That's right.
Speaking of,
not glamorous. It's work. You have to, you know, examine the utilities books and, you know, it's just, you know, they're trying to prove that they need this extra funding, that they need the rate increase. And then there's other people, there are community groups like, sometimes the senior groups, and I think that there's some consumer groups that are trying to argue the other way. So, and they just argue. So, and I just report what they have to say. But I think you wanted to talk about the convention. I didn't have a whole lot more to say about it. I did want to tell people about the amazing level of security forces that were at the convention.
It was
incredible. I mean, there were between 3 and 8 law enforcement officers on every single corner for block after block after block. I think all paid for by the Democrats. I'm not sure who exactly paid for it, but it was, they had all kinds of fencing. They had all kinds of security measures. I mean, they swept under cars for bombs, I presume. They took it extremely seriously.
Well, I would kind of expect that in today's climate, and given, you know, past Democratic National Conventions and what's gone on there.
It was like actually pretty calm. I mean, as far as like protesters and activists in the streets, I saw some groups, but I'd say overall it was really pretty calm. I mean, I did see some people who are kind of, you know, they were yelling and things like that, but the police would surround those people and basically protect them and give them their free right to free speech. So
you felt like it was well executed in that they were keeping people safe and not trying to crush a rebellion, so to speak.
I'd say it was an extremely well executed convention.
Well, that's good to hear.
It was very well organized, especially from the security standpoint. I mean, the police, the law enforcement officers, they took their jobs very seriously, and they were always kind of watchful. They looked extremely professional. It was interesting that they came from everywhere. There were law enforcement officers with badges from Chicago. There were law enforcement officers with badges from New York and New Jersey and Atlanta. And, of course, every single law enforcement unit across the state of Carolina, South Carolina, they all had people there. And I think they even delayed college in the local university so the dorms would be empty so that they could house all these extra people. And there was a lot of Secret Service. I saw quite a few people of Secret Service uniforms on, too.
I rung in first. Well, how did you know they were Secret Service? Wouldn't they be secret?
I kind of joked with one of them. You're really not that secret. You got Secret Service on your shirt. He didn't think it was funny. They were not up for lots of jokes.
I heard that before. He was just the service.
Right. They're the equivalent of the guards at Buckingham Palace, right? They're not supposed to crack a smile or react to you.
Yeah, they were there to do a job. There's no doubt about that. And I never saw anybody get hurt or harmed. You know, there was some people with placarding, and there were some people in the streets from both ends of the political spectrum, actually. I think that there were some pro-life movement people there, and there was also some of the 99% people, what do they call themselves?
Occupiers.
Occupy people. They were there too, I think.
Yeah.
And they were
occupying space.
Were you present during the vote to change the wording in the, was it the DNC charter when VIA?
Yeah, I missed that. But
the best
I was
part.
Sitting next to, there were, you know, it's a pretty broad spectrum of religious beliefs in the Democratic Party. And I was sitting next to a girl who was clearly Muslim, and she was quite upset about it. She did not like the way that was handled, and she had a kind of a placard in her lap at the convention. She was really hoping some of the journalists would come over and talk to her. I don't think anybody ever did. But, you know, it's really, when you are dealing with that issue, religion, is very touchy for people. It's very personal for people. And I think they could have handled it a little better, probably.
I agree.
Kind of an understatement there.
With the nose and the boobs. Jerry's comment about somebody showing up to the meeting and really disrupting what they thought was going to be a cakewalk. I mean, the way they handled that vote was...
It's pretty awful.
It's laughable.
Well, I like it. And yeah, as it came off on TV, you know, here's the yays and the noes, and it was about even. Like, that's the time to just, you know, run away.
Right.
Or
like, look at your watch and go, oh, look at the time, you know.
Go to a commercial.
Right.
But again, I would argue that those issues, you know, by and large, you know, I come from a pretty homogeneous area. I'm from a farm community. And everyone, you know, there's a lot, you know, I'm a pretty open-minded person anyways, and I came away from the convention even more open-minded than I already am about people who are different from me. I was really around a lot of people who are quite a bit different from me. And overall, it was an extremely friendly group, extremely easygoing. People liked each other, and I found it really uplifting to be around people who were also open-minded and tolerant, and I think it's important for our culture and society to be tolerant of each other's religious differences, and I think it's really unfortunate when I see people get real stirred up about those issues and mixing religion up with politics like that. I just think that that's going to cause more problems than it solves.
Well, you should be surprised. I mean, Mitt Romney says all the Democratic base is 47% of it's just because we're moochers. Not all... We're all the same.
That's right. None of you guys pay your taxes.
Right, and that's 47%. All he's got to do. Oh, Lordy. So you're a delegate, so you can get some digs in if you want it. I'm just curious if you were on an alien spaceship and you got blindfolded and spun around 10 times and then dropped into a convention, but they wouldn't tell you which convention it was.
Yeah.
And you sort of arrived at either the GOP one or the Democrat one, and you're on the floor. Like, how would you characterize the differences between them? Or, I mean, I know you didn't go to the GOP one, but I mean, did it feel like a
Democratic? Yeah.
Yeah. Did it feel Democratic?
It was incredibly Democratic. I mean, you know, there's lots of, you know, Democrats there.
I'm kind of curious how you know it. They're Democrats. Let me. I've kind of.
There's a tremendous number of women in the Democratic Party, and you know.
There's a secret handshake, Rob.
They've done a lot for the gay rights agenda, and they are tremendously pleased. I mean, you know, everybody's complaining about something, but overall, people who are gay in this country are pleased with the abolishment of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and Democrats, by and large, have been supportive of, you know, the right to marry and the right to adopt kids, and they were very excited that there was a lot. There were gay people there, and they were extremely excited and proud to be there, and they were just jumping out of their skins with joy to be there. And so it was fun.
That's how that's how you know it's the Democrat one. Nobody's jumping out of their skin about a Romney tax cut.
Well, I'm back to the gay contingent, or for lack of a better term, I guess, or that I can't think of. We talked about this on the podcast when Obama first came out after Joe Biden allegedly slipped and said, yeah, we approve of gay marriage, which I happen to approve also. I think it's silly that it's not legal.
Are you the conservative on the panel? I've lost track.
I am. I'm okay. Supposed to be, but, you know, I've... Like I said, I don't follow.
The libertarian side is showing.
It is, big time, it is. But my contention was, if you're going to take that stance, that to come out and say, yes, I support gay marriage, come out guns blazing, not, oh, my goofy vice president leaked it, so I guess, I'll admit, yeah, that's my position. Rob's contention was that was a genius political move. And I just can't see do they talk about that? Well, I wish he would have come out.
It was a little
supporting it on his own, or
I didn't hear that. I don't know. I guess I don't have opinion one way or the other about whether it was genius or kind of a dumb move. I do think the people I met at the convention who were probably gay, you know, you don't always know, but
they were pleased
that Don't Ask, Don't Tell has come to an end. And, you know, there were, on the stage, there were lots of men and women in uniform and service members. And the whole entire program from one end to the other was extremely complimentary and supportive of our men and women who are in service, and grateful to them. And at one point, everybody stood up and everybody had thank you cards in our hands and everybody showed them. And there were a whole bunch of men and women in uniform on the stage. Just, you know, just the whole crowd, thousands of people were thanking them. And so, and you know, those people who are gay, who are in their uniform, they're fighting for our country and they're making some pretty big sacrifices for our country.
That's incredible to hear, because I thought the Democrats hate the troops.
I would say that would be an unfair characterization of that party. You know, certainly people who are upset about the choice to go to war, but that doesn't mean that they're holding the troops accountable for those choices.
Yeah. See, take that. I want to vote for you way more than just for delegate. I think you got a future in big time. Get this Jay Nixon guy out of here.
There you go, Christy.
He was there too. He held a party. In the evening, at 11 o'clock in the evening, it was like a dessert party. And I went, but Jay never arrived, so.
Typical.
What did they have for dessert?
Actually, it was delicious. I think I had bananas Foster.
Oh, doesn't that involve fire?
Yeah, it was a fancy party at one of the hotels.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to be a delegate now. This is...
The ironic thing about that party is it was hosted by Jeff Davis, who used to be... Peter Kinder's like left-hand or right-hand man in his lieutenant governor's office. I'm almost sure that's true. And then Jeff was actually on the Public Service Commission for a while, but now he's gone into government consulting, which is really another word for lobbying for BNSF Railway. And so that's what he's doing now. But it was kind of odd for him to be hosting a party for Jay Nixon when he's really been on the Republican side of the aisle for many years.
We've been infiltrated.
Interesting.
Party.
Strange bedfellows.
And any other gossip you want to share from your experience there?
I don't know. What other gossip is there?
You can make some up.
Let me think. Oh, I thought that, give me a second, our Attorney General, Chris Coster, he changed parties. He actually went from the party that was winning all the elections to the party that was losing the elections. Which is kind of an unusual change. Usually politicians go the other way. They realize, I can't get elected anymore in my party, so I'll have to change. He went the other direction, and he spoke to the Democrats. And in the most diplomatic and cautious way I think I've ever seen a politician approach the subject, he kind of, I think what he was trying to say, he was asking the Democratic delegation to try to come a little bit closer to the center. because I think he feels like many people in Missouri are just natively conservative, and they're expressing, as he put it, they're expressing their native conservatism in new ways in the last couple of years. And I think he said he was proud and happy to be a Democrat, and I think he would like to see the party become more centrist. That's what I took away from his remarks.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I put a link in the show notes for our last episode to an article in the Post-Dispatch about how the Democratic Party is kind of struggling right now in Missouri because we're on the verge of losing our bellwether status and becoming irrelevant as far as, you know, the national politics go. So maybe he's, you know, responding to that and trying to bring everybody to the center a little more so that, you know, we don't get written off as a red state.
Yeah, maybe. I think that's apt, yeah.
Are there any other experiences you had there that you want to share with our listeners?
Are you going to do it again?
I will probably never have a chance to do it again. I don't know. It was interesting. I don't know that I need to just go every year in and year out. There are some people that do that, but it'll probably be a once in a lifetime experience for me because now I've gone back to journalism, which I love actually, and I'm really pleased to be writing for a newspaper again. So my sojourn as a private citizen has come to an end, and I'm happy to be, you know, when you're a journalist, you really want to try to be as open-minded and neutral as you can be. And so I kind of have to put some of this activity on the back burner for a while, but you know, you never know. I would be interested in going to the Republican convention. I'm sorry that I didn't spend more time listening. I would really like to have been able to compare and contrast the messages. So,
yeah.
Well, they didn't have a message, so you're all set.
I have two questions, if we have time.
Can I make two closing statements?
One, you talk about being open-minded and being a journalist, thinking that's very important. How do you see the mainstream media as far as open-mindedness or a bias to one side or the other? And the second question, you mentioned covering education. That's a hot topic on here, especially with Jerry. I guess I don't know that I have a real question there, but maybe...
I will say, at first I was a little trepidatious about covering education, but for the last 2 weeks, I think it's going to be so much fun. I am really looking forward to the education beat now. I've had a really good experience this week covering it, and I think the issues are really interesting and compelling. And what was the first part of the thing you said about being neutral and open-minded? I've been around the press corps in Jefferson City for a long time, and I think all the reporters there make a really concerted effort to be as fair and open-minded as they can be. And so it really hurts me when people are so critical of the so-called mainstream media, because I know that there are reporters on every end of the spectrum, and all of them, most of them are really trying to be neutral and fair and get all the viewpoints in the paper or in the radio or whatever, you know, wherever they work. And so I kind of feel like people who are really critical of the media like that are kind of doing our nation a disservice, and I don't think they really understand. Anyway, that's what I have to say about that.
Well, that's obviously the wrong answer.
Sorry.
Nice. All right. Well, Christy, I want to thank you very much for taking time to be on the show with us. And we've certainly enjoyed having you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was really entertaining and interesting.
And I think we and our listeners learned a lot about how the sausage is made.
Thank you for having me on the show. It's nice to visit with you again, Jerry.
Yep, you too.
Nice to meet you guys.
Yeah, you
good
too.
To talk nice to you. You great episode. Can we have you back?
Yeah, we'll have her back again in the future, I think.
All right.
If she'll have us.
I'd love to go on your show again. I think that would be fun.
Great. All right. Well, thank you very much, Christy.
Have a great night, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will wrap things up.
Audrey.
All right, we are back, and once again, we want to thank our guest Christy for livening up the show.
Yay!
She was a great guest, and we really appreciate her coming on. I want to cover some listener feedback now. Our listener Eric had this to say: "I've listened to the most recent episodes, and they were very entertaining. Nice interview last week." And he's referring to Jim Higgins that we had on our last episode. "Oh, and it does seem like you guys are trying to be more, quote, compact with the show, which I like." That is true. We've responded to some listener feedback about the length of the show. We're trying to keep them shorter. So far, we've been successful. We'll see if we can maintain that. Eric also says, "You may have already thought of this, but I'm sure you heard Romney's 47% comments, and that might be a good topic for the show." And I would certainly agree with that. I think we could probably do a whole episode about that. What do you guys think?
I think so.
Yeah. I got things to say.
So maybe we'll do that next episode. We'll cover that and whatever other Romney gaffes have been in the news since today.
Do you guys get the sense that like Obama's got a whole playbook there and he's waiting to use it, but he just hasn't had to yet?
Yeah,
right. You know, it's just week after week, Romney just sort of steps in and he's like, "Oh, sweet, I got the week off."
Got the week off to meet with a pirate instead of Netanyahu and deny, you know, terrorist things, attacks on various embassies.
Oh, drugs.
I love that picture. That is just priceless. It wasn't even a good pirate outfit.
Well, he was just celebrating Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I understand that, but
it's very important.
You know.
Yeah. He's got to connect with the younger voters out there.
Oh, I thought he was meeting with Somali pirates. I got all confused.
And would we feel more warmly towards the Somali pirates if they dress like that?
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, when I see them on the news, I'm like, that's not a pirate.
They don't even have a parrot. How can that be a pirate?
That's right. Bunch of posers.
We've gone off the rails.
A little bit. Okay, let's thank our listeners. Thank our guest once again.
And, we go, Chris.
Way
it's
to go.
It's okay to send listener feedback that says you'd rather have Chris than any one of us on there.
I'm going to send that feedback.
Please, one of you, and install Chris.
Yes. Okay, I think that's it. We'll see everybody next time.
Bye.
Bye now.